All right, I'll call the meeting to order and the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. For the sake of the speaker thing, give your name and whether or not you're here or not.
Joanna Salkovitz, here.
Ken Jones, here.
Jeffrey Tsai, here.
John Cathcart, here.
Okay, we have a quorum. Approving the minutes for the meeting held on 12-11-14. I noticed that there was some names as far as who proposed what. It was kind of off, but I don't know that it's important enough to worry about. So anybody have any changes that they wish to make sure that's in the minutes?
No.
Have a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as recorded.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Public comments. Public? Got any comments?
Actually, I do.
Okay, good.
All right.
On a standpoint of paper, this was a 15-page output of paper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about the
agenda.
Today's agenda, right.
And there's a lot of...
Yeah. Well, it was the new forms. Was what took up... I didn't print that out. I just looked it over.
Well, I printed it out because he don't read the computer. So
sure.
I printed out for him, the benefit of him. But there's a lot of wasted white space. So I was wondering if there's anything that could be done to reduce that wasted white space.
Attachments.
And I'm Patty Capcart.
Okay. And for the record, Denise Bevan, representing staff, the new process was recently explained to me. The goal was to make it consistent with our other meetings, City Council, PLDRB, and making sure that the BAC is consistent with other record keeping through the clerk. But on the note of your comment, I'll reference to the clerk about the need of empty space and potentially the printing outcome of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
May I comment on this waiver?
Well, yeah. Is that
it's I think it's part of new business.
Later.
Okay,
right.
All right. I'll wait then. I'll wait.
Can I hold off on that?
I'll hold off,
okay.
Yeah.
The other thing you might think about, Denise, is maybe just producing for printing ability, where you don't have to print out the whole thing, just what we used to call at work an executive summary, just a summary of what you're trying to detail. And that way, a person can just do that as their note-taking kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If they want the whole document, they can certainly print it out, but that way you just print, like, the page that's a summary.
You have the document, right, Joanna?
I do. I have it right here. Yeah.
So I noticed that it is. There is a lot of white spaces.
Right.
But I think that's a good idea because we really didn't need to have the approval where we sign. That's for the folks that are going to do it. It would be helpful to just see that that's what it is.
Right.
It's a document asking folks to... sign away any liability concerns they may have.
And just for the benefit of the committee and the public, it's important to have all the information there to the item.
Oh, yeah.
Because of public records with Florida law.
Right,
so
right.
I know the waiver is in there and the signing, but it's really from the intent of making sure it's in the public record.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's why I say I think you have to have the whole thing. That's what you're doing. But that doesn't mean you have to print the whole thing off if you want to refer to it. You know, just have like an executive kind of summary.
One-page summary.
Says, you know,
and then you can look through it. That's what I did.
Right.
I looked through it all.
Right.
I wasn't going to print it out. I was just printing out the agenda.
Right.
And if you've ever looked at City Council's agendas, and that's the one that I'm most familiar with, typically for the item you have staff, we call it Legistar text, and so it gives you that overview,
right.
And then you have all your supporting documents underneath it. So I'm not sure if all these items went through that type of detail.
Okay. Good point, public.
Good
anything
stuff.
Else? All right.
Thank you, though.
Thank you.
We are trying to keep our paper down low.
That's right. Save a few trees here or there. All right, update on our proposal from Emma and on the image thing. I met with the executive board of the Friends of the Library, and we have approved being the sponsor of this artwork. And now where it lies now is it's up to me to come up and complete the paperwork so that the parks team agrees to what it is that we want to do. As far as the grant from the city, I've been told that I can apply for it actually after starting on the 20th, I think it is, I could have started applying, but I need to, it's also up to me, I'm going to apply to the city to try to recoup some of the funds for the Friends of the Library that are sponsoring it to see if we can do it. As far as where we're planning on, just so you know, I don't have the official document done yet, but the overall plan was to have it for 2 months, for the months of April and May of this year. In April, we would have it at the library property, which talking with Bill at the last meeting, that would be okay for the city for us to do. And then we would move it to probably in front of Central Park, in front of the lake out there on the pavement for the month of May. So we'd be here for 2 months. Like I said, the Friends of the Library as a 501c, 401k, I'm thinking of tax time, a 501c corporation can apply then for the grant from the city of Palm Coast to help support the thing. So that's where it is. Obviously, all of the documents have to be completed to get the approvals. While the library is very supportive of having it there for the month of April, I have not yet, it's not been official that the county has agreed, because it is county property, to be able to put it on there. We don't foresee an issue with that, but just so everybody knows that I'm on my paperwork, it's probably going to be an A-B plan, like either 2 months at Central Park, at the town center, or, like I said, the 1 month at the library, 1 month at town center. So, any questions at all on that? Everything seems to be moving along pretty well. I've been in contact with Emma. The months of April and May are available to us as long as we can move quickly enough. She needs about 30 days advance notice to be able to get the artwork structure here. So they're responsible for all the installation, but I need to find out exactly how that's going to work for the sake of the city engineers. They also carry an insurance policy to cover it all in case there's any issues, either pieces stolen or damaged or defaced or whatever, liability coverage in case someone tries to climb it and falls off. They cover all that as part of their costs. So, but all of that's going to be drafted up into our normal format that we ask any artwork to be submitted to the city. So it'll. Now, the downside for this board, and I can see if I... maybe someone else, I'll give it to Bill maybe ahead of time. I am not going to be here at the February meeting, unfortunately. I can't be here. So all of that's going to be done long before then, but I'd have to have maybe Bill or somebody else present it to the board here for you guys to review it. So, okay. Any questions at all on the art project? Okay. Update on the SR 100 median landscape and irrigation project.
So before Bill went on vacation, he wanted to share the timeline, and so that's what I have with me. It was not part of your agenda packet, I don't believe, but just to give you some dates, it appears that we've already advertised for bids January 9th. We're looking towards, what is today? Okay, so the 26th non-mandatory pre-bid conference, bid opening February 9th. All the way through, we're looking at construction, the latest construction finish on October 30th, 2015. So that's a general timeline of the project for State Road 100 medians, and he also provided me the plans. If the committee has any specific questions or needs a refresher, I do have a set of plans here tonight.
Anybody want to see the plans? Questions?
I think we've looked at them several times already. It looks very nice. I guess. So the project will be bid out, and then the folks will get started on it, and they have a completion tentative date of the 15th of October.
30th of October.
30th.
I should have mentioned that, and that's an important benchmark, is the earliest construction start is April 14th.
Okay. Any questions for me? All right. Now, review of final adoption brochure and hold harmless agreements.
Okay. On the indemnification, hold harmless and release, I noticed, Denise, several run-on in the words here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It might be a legal matter of the content. If you wanted to point out...
I highlight them, you can have my copy.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And also, the same thing on the other one I have here, too.
Okay.
Basically, it's the same. It's like the same words that keep getting run into each other. But I'll give this to you.
Great. Thank you.
So you can have it. And that's it. Other than that, I think I would be rather daunted signing it. So.
Any other questions? Or Denise, did you have anything you wanted to elaborate on it at all?
I did bring some extra brochures that the committee can take with them and promote. If there is interest, that at that point we provide the hold harmless form.
This one? Okay.
That's correct. And that's inclusive of all of our adopt-a-programs.
Okay.
So it's adopt-a-shoreline, adopt-a-meet, or
trail.
Adopt-a-trail.
Park. Mm-hmm. Or road. Okay.
Now, this liability release is a new item, then. Is that correct?
It's new. I have a low experience with it to speak to. When we have our waterway cleanup every September, we have a simple form where people sign and they understand they're taking on a level of risk out in the environment. For our running series, where people actually do 5Ks, there's a liability form. Oh. Well, from our staff that maintains our insurance, and from also a bigger insurance policy from the city, we wanted to make it all consistent. And so consistency sometimes brings a lot of... legal matters. So now all of our hold harmless is consistent, and that's why now this seems a little new. Yeah.
So are the people who have to ride a bike in July have to sign these too? Or
you know, and from a staff perspective, we're a little concerned that it's a little bit arduous, you know.
Yeah, try to do all that.
And we understand the principle, and it's definitely appropriate, but when you have to sign for minors and parents have to sign for themselves, and especially for the waterway cleanup where it's such a positive event, and you feel like maybe you're deterring because of the paperwork.
Sure.
And people are very cautious about signing on a dotted line.
Oh, yeah.
But this is how we're moving forward, and that's why there's hold harmless now part of this agreement.
It's kind of unfortunate part of today's
modern
world.
Society. Yes. Has there ever been anyone that has hurt their back or fallen in on a banana peel in the cleanup or something?
Well, from the cleanup, I can testify.
Or any of these.
I couldn't testify to the other ones, but the cleanup, as far as I know from being the event coordinator, I've never had it brought to my attention someone got hurt and then actually pursued a liability.
I've never heard of that.
But
it's better and better to be secure in that, although from what sometimes you hear that these items aren't really... These hold agreements, they don't hold up in a court of law. Like a child signs it, what do they know?
Everyone can be challenged.
Well, yeah. I know this particular form has been vetted through our legal folks, and I don't know if it's been actually challenged, someone filling in their name and then coming back and trying to challenge the city, but it has been vetted through our legal.
Okay. Anything else on that? Everybody's okay? All right. Or items not on the agenda. Anybody wants to? Oh, did you want to mention?
I can, if you want.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I also brought with me, even though it wasn't on the agenda, but it's coming very quickly to the date of the event, February 6th through 8th, mm-hmm. we're having our very, very first birding festival. Very exciting stuff. Yes. Exciting because we've been planning it for so long and now it's here. But also we're getting a lot of attention beyond just Palm Coast. This is an event designed not only for the avid birders, but for the whole family. And that's a different niche than normally birding festivals, you know, really go for. But this is designed with our citizens in mind, but also visitors, meaning that we have free classes for little ones. So you can actually register for free things. And then also we have destinations that are incredible. I think Lake Woodruff is one of those. But it really tackles every type of character we have here in Palm Coast. And to plug my own, I'm leading a raptor tour at Princess Place. And I have to say, we have a lot of support from the county as well and other partners. So spread the word. We want it to be successful. And we do have a lot of people participating already. So.
Super.
And side note, of course, I talked about a lot of generalities of what the event's made out of, but you can go to birdingfest.com and everything's there for you.
Have they produced any kind of brochures that can be handed out, like at the library or anything?
There is. Okay. And I can, if there's an interest, we can produce some. And
okay.
If the committee wants to distribute, we'd be happy.
It may be a little too tight at this point to be able to do that.
I have more of these. We have a lot of these that I can, you know, give to you, and it could be placed out. Just to save paper.
Yeah. Save paper. That's right. Very good.
Okay, it's a trend.
Any questions on the Birding Festival? Anybody has? Other items not on the agenda anyone want to bring up?
I have an item. And I'm glad Ms. Bivin is here. I was wanting to ask Glenn if perhaps at my interest is also in art and beautification, but it is also in environmental issues. And thoughts of how the community goes forward in the environmental areas, for instance, environmental impact of new structures, new developments, new buildings, roads, that kind of thing, and how these go about. So I was going to ask if we could perhaps, and not take up a lot of the committee's time, but just get an idea of how the permitting process goes, what has to be done for approval even in an environmentally sensitive area. For example, I had spoken to Bill about, I live over by Belterre, and between the two schools, Indian Trails and Belterre Elementary, there's the trail that goes through Hewlett Swamp.
Yeah, know it well.
And I know that I've noticed recently there's all kinds of flagging and labeled stakes and all, and I'm wondering what's going on. And Bill had mentioned something about a water main, some water piping going through. Now, I've also noticed that they're kind of enlarging, seems like, the one road that that from where there's a gate, it looks like you can drive onto that trail at a certain point going west towards US 1. About halfway down the trail, there's a gate, and I've noticed some vehicle tracks on that. And I'm just wondering what's going on that, because I'm concerned about that area. In fact, I think we had discussed that the last time you were here. Now, I talked to Bill about, for example, the drainage. You know, he said there's only one flow through from the trail, and it's a little wooden bridge where their water flows from one side to the other of the trail. The trail is more or less like a dike. And he had said that there may be some underground drainage pipes that allows for, because in all structures, and especially that one that flows into Pelliser Creek, mm-hmm. it's important to have a flow through going. And I was wondering where those pipes are and what the makeup is, because it looks pretty stagnant on the south side, I think it would be, of the trail, beyond that one little bridge structure. So that's what I was wondering about. But in addition to that, I was just wondering how you go about doing that. And you know, I drive down Pine Lakes Parkway that from Belterre, going over to from Belterre to Palm Coast Parkway, and it's like Hewlett Swamp sort of ends right there, you know. And where does it go? How was it decided to let that one be what it is and say Graham Swamp be what it is?
I would be thrilled to come back to being in the field that I am and the expertise I am for the city. I'd be thrilled to come back if there was a targeted topic that you wanted covered, because everything that you just discussed, I feel completely comfortable with giving you an answer. And I would even start maybe not from the building side, but all the strategic action planning side, meaning our long-term vision, because everything we do starts way back with a vision and then slowly gets implemented. And so when you're asking how does that happen, of course you have your current planning, and that's what we're talking about, meaning coming in and I want to propose something, I want to build something. Well, that's current planning. And then there's a long-range planning. That means working with your comp plan, your vision for your city. That's what those little place mats are. And so you start with your long-term, and then you implement currently. So if you want an overview of the long kind of range planning and then bringing it to a reality of what you're seeing out in the world, you know, the Hewlett Branch Trail or the water main, or why is that road there and it's not over here because you have a swamp here, but where does the swamp go? We can talk in that context. And we can do it maybe in stages. Or if it's an interest solely from one of the committee members and not the committee as a whole, I would be thrilled to just schedule time with you and talk about it. So that's up to the discretion of the committee if they want it to be standardized each meeting or just on a case-by-case basis. I mean, I work for you, so you call me up and you want to discuss something, I would be thrilled to make time to do that.
What I would say is there needs to be probably two aspects that we can let Bill know. One, I think, and I know we've been through it because we've been here for a while, but we do have two new members of the, you know, half our group here is new, let's say. I think that it would be good for him to cover the approval process, you know, give an overview of how things happen, in terms of if we're going to expand a road, you know, who has to approve and sign off on that, just the overview kind of thing, so that we have that concept, so we understand what the process is, everybody understands it. And then, like you're saying, specifics.
Yes.
Which ones are we actually questioning and bring those out? And she's the real expert,
yes.
And if she doesn't know the answer, she can, you know, she'll find the answer for you. So
that's exactly right, Ken. That's where I would like to go first, is to find out what are the steps involved in the approval of a project process. For example, the extensions of Old Kings Road and Palm Harbor, I guess it is. They're going to be, there's a big, and the I-95 interchange at Matanzas. I guess I'm thinking close to my home, all the projects. But I look at that land and I see a marsh and I see wetlands, and I just wonder, how does it go about, I mean, Palm Coast essentially was one big wetland to begin with, But how does it go about now in the present environment to get a project approved to go into a wetland? What do we do? How does for example, the town center, you know, that's a development of regional impact. Is that what it's
correct,
called?
Correct, very
is
good.
It, yeah, and there may be some other ones out there. I know
there
he
are.
Was talking about, and what kind of land are we talking about going towards, and how is it discerned where that goes, and what is there now? I was looking at old aerial photographs and all of what is now Palm Coast, and I'm like, what? Where is anything? I see US 1. That's all that was there. US 1 has been around for a long time, and there was nothing there. And I was just wondering how it goes about being approved. What has to be done? Who has to sign off on it? Mm-hmm. Is there any federal approval that's needed? State approval? What has to be done? I'm concerned about that, because I'm very concerned about the environment.
No, I think it's good issues. Because what we discussed with the committee, we're hoping, you know, that people may be listening in, and the more people know, the better all the way around. Yes, sir.
How much input does the Army Corps of Engineers have on these projects? Do they make the decisions?
Independently of us, meaning if it's a Water Quality Clean Water Act, or a jurisdictional wetland determination, which is separate than what the state really uses as criteria, they do get involved. And there's different levels of intensity that justifies different levels of permit issuance or approvals. And I've worked with the Army Corps and the Water Management District and the Department of Environmental Protection for 13 years, and
expert.
And it's only because I was a consultant. I was a private consultant before, so I would have to steward these permits through. And then now I do have the opportunity sometimes to actually do the same role for the city's benefit. And it's really about the project. Every project's different, and every project is driven by different regulations. So.
See, the problem I have with the Army Corps of Engineers, I was head of the largest environment group in New Jersey. They only way they get their money is that they find a project. And a lot of times they made up projects.
Yeah, and you might, and I like to hear the experience from other reaches because they have different districts. My experience is not their projects, but our projects. And when we submit a application for consideration to the Army Corps of Engineers, they don't charge a fee. In the state of Florida, there's what's called a joint ERP process, Environmental Resource Permitting process. So what happens is you send one application to the Water Management District, you pay them, and then as a courtesy, they ship off the same application to the Army Corps of Engineers, and so they review it concurrently. You can apply to the Army Corps Engineers separately, but you still won't be charged a fee. Now, in the case of our scope of projects, I don't know if that's entirely, if we're dredging the St. John's River up there in Mayport, that might be a different story, but that's my experience with them.
Okay. So I think if we can get that overview, and I know what you're talking about in terms, which is worthwhile to cover in terms of the long-range planning, but yeah, that's kind of the maximum up here.
I think yeah, it's like right,
right
up here.
You must, like, you know, but so let's just say for argument's sake that the city wants to expand Palm Coast Parkway to, or, you know, whatever. That's the maximum plan or the ultimate plan.
Okay.
But when they decide to go do it, what has to be done, you know, in terms of the impact? Who has to sign off? You know, St. John's, River Management, Army Corps of Engineer,
right,
you,
State DEP,
yeah, whatever, to understand that process so that we at least have that overview of, you know, we're not, I know every situation is a little bit different in terms of who you have to go to, but I think having an overview of it would help to understand the process, and then we can get in, once you know the overview, we can get into the specifics,
that
saying, okay,
right,
what this particular one, you know,
what
happened, who signed off on that
yeah,
one?
Who signed off and
the one's
reasons
yeah,
that
right,
are listed for right, approval or whatever, is there discussion, you know?
And your focus is the environmental, right?
Yes.
It's about the resources and consider it, because there's a lot of other moving parts.
Yeah, there are. But
okay,
I think the environmental part, you know, it's part of our committee name.
Good. That's,
well,
I really appreciate it.
Right. I like beautification.
That's
of
right.
Our,
well,
I'm
thrilled,
background.
Again, I know I said it before, but I'm thrilled to hear the committee's interest in that. I'll convey it to Bill. And, you know, I appreciate giving it some boundaries
so
we can give you a
right,
lot of information that you can really use.
Get into. Yeah.
And you are the person that deals with that with the city. Oh, boy.
That's what I said. She's your expert
okay,
when it gets into the details.
Boy.
So.
Well, that's
good,
great.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. What else? Anything else for items not on the agenda? Denise, did you have anything else that you wanted to bring up? Everybody else is set? Okay. Someone want to make a motion for adjournment then?
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second?
Second.
Okay. We stand adjourned.